right, welcome to Energizing EAM. We're broadcasting from Inforum 2019, where I am stepping all over things that are technical, tripping. It's a health hazard here when it comes to technology. It's here at Inforum 2019. And I'm telling you, man, we've got another interview. And it's another interview to show you how ill-equipped I am and how insignificant I am. So, you know, enjoy that conversation, because we've got an incredible conversation with a young lady by the name of Tammy Riley. She's Program Manager and Maintenance Reliability and Global Supply Chain at Starbucks. And we're going to talk a little bit about her background, what she does, and how does somebody who's landed on aircraft carriers get into this particular business. Is that good?
That's good.
And once again, you get to hear how I'm insignificant when she starts talking about cool stuff. I have a 57 Chevy. That's about it. And
That's cool stuff.
No, it's not as cool as yours. It's like if you talk to an astronaut, and then the astronaut says, yeah, I landed on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much shuts things down, doesn't it? It's like, what are we supposed to say?
I don't know that it shuts things down. Oh, okay. I think it opens up a wealth of questions.
Here we go. So how many times have you landed on an aircraft carrier?
I have 146 landings in my logbook.
So you listeners out there, how in the heck can I even come back after that?
Go ahead. Those are the ones I flew. So that doesn't even count the ones that you have to ride.
You dropped a bomb. You flew one. You did it?
Yeah. Oh, that was me flying them. And then there are some when you are in the right seat and you're riding in those. And sometimes those are actually scarier than the ones you're flying.
See? There it is. I really tried, listeners. I really tried to be prepared for that. But that just is B.A. Doggone it, Tammy.
It's good stuff.
It is.
It was a great first
Now,
career.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, we can talk about all the other stuff. But I'm going to go down the road. I want to talk about, is it difficult to find that aircraft carrier?
No, you know what? It's such a big imprint that sometimes we'd use our weather radar. You knew what the return signal was. So sometimes they'd turn off all the other things, but if you had an idea where it was at, we would turn on our weather radar and we could find it.
See. And what do I So here's an aircraft carrier and moving up and down. How do you match that?
Well, there's a whole landing process, and it's called the Fresnel lens. You fly the ball. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's a bar of a horizontal datum of lights, and then there's a single white light that moves up and down, and that tells you where your glide slope is. When they intersect, you're on glide slope, and you use a constant attitude, and you adjust your power to fly the aircraft down the glide slope to hopefully a three-wire. Is what you're looking for, is a three-wire. There's four wires across the deck.
What if you hit the first wire?
Well, then you're still landing. Yeah. You just, you came down a little bit, you know.
Early?
Yeah.
And then so the third wire is...
Yeah, you aim for the ball is set for the third wire.
See, normally I start interviews like, hey, give us a little background, but right off the bat, we're just going right into, you know, I know you had a life before the Navy, but I would be very happy, but this is just insane.
Yeah.
So... And we're going to go into it, so don't mind, listeners. That's all good. When you were young, which you are now, still don't.
Thank you.
Yeah, my gosh. What made you get into that?
I grew up overseas. So I have a father who is an accountant with a Wanderlust, and so he was an accountant for Air America growing up. So we lived in Taiwan. The Air America, yes. He was not a pilot. He was an accountant. So let's be clear on that.
My life stinks.
So we would get on airplanes. I remember getting on airplanes as a kid and flying all over Asia. And then we would fly back to the United States every year. And the places that airplanes could take you and the views from the air, those just really resonated for me. So we moved back to the U.S. when I was in second grade. We moved to Colorado. My parents split, and my mom's rebellion was to go get her pilot's license.
Okay.
So the next segue to that was mom taking us up in the little Cessna and flying.
Wow.
And I liked that too. So my parents have always been, you know, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail?
Wow.
You know, go for your dream. So uh, I I had a little bit of a hiccup in high school. I went from a 3.8 GPA to a 1.9 one year.
That's more of a hiccup. You're normal. You are a normal person.
So I had to kind of recover from
that. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you very much.
But, you know, I didn't give up. And what it would have been really easy to toss in the towel and say, oh, I'm done. I can't go to any of the academies. I can't do any of that kind of stuff. And I persevered in different ways. So what I ended up doing was to get money for college. I enlisted in the Army. They had a college program at that time. I did 3 years in the intelligence community with the Army. And I went over to Korea, and it wasn't quite as shocking to me as it was to some other people.
That's interesting. Like
just culturally, you know. I mean, it was very similar to the culture that I experienced in Taiwan.
Did you go to the border?
To the DMZ. Yeah. We did. That was very interesting, you know. And it seemed like, you know, all the South Korean guards
were on Vitagro. That was at the time of Kim Jong-un, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the South Korean soldiers that were there were like the biggest I'd ever seen. I mean, usually they're diminutive of stature, really kind of. And they were beefed up. So they must have been feeding them Vitagro since they were little guys.
Because it's interesting because it's the image, right?
Right.
It's
the intimidation piece.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah. So it was very interesting. And just, you know, the story behind the DMZ all of that. So got off active duty and went to college, CU Boulder, and I got a degree in international affairs.
Are you the Buffaloes?
Yeah, we are. CU Buffs.
Yeah. Yep. How are you doing in football?
You know, right now, I don't know. I haven't been following it. I'm sorry.
You know, it's our life, the college ball.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Sorry. It doesn't matter. So you go to school.
And I decided that it would be coolest bit to fly planes on aircraft carriers. And I do have to say that my mom was like, I'm sorry, come again?
No way.
Yeah, and so she said, you know, well, how do you do that? And I really couldn't afford civilian flight training, so the military was the option, and the Navy's the only one that lands on aircraft carriers. I applied. I got a scholarship, an ROTC scholarship. I passed my classes. I graduated. I was selected for flight school. And then, actually, when you get there, there are so many things beyond your control that can knock you out. Your eyes, your ticker, your blood pressure.
Right.
I almost didn't make it into flight school because my blood pressure was too low. I didn't know that you could be healthy and your blood pressure could be too low.
Wow.
But for G-loading. So it worked out.
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't think of that too.
So I ate French fries at McDonald's and weightlifted, and on the third try I passed within parameters and you know, got to fly. So it was a really great, and I wasn't an engineer, you know. Everybody told me that I had to be an engineer, but I don't, and I think that's kind of what I want to share with some of the girls and the women that are out there, that if engineering isn't your bent, that's okay. That doesn't have to exclude you from all these amazing job opportunities, because I'm not an engineer, but I can speak engineer. I can do diagrams.
Right.
I can draw drop a fuel going through a system. I can do all those different kinds of things.
What did you get a degree in?
International affairs.
Yeah.
And then I have a master's.
It's not even close to engineering or anything.
Right.
Yes.
But and then I got a master's in organizational management. You know, managing people, managing organizations, and that's universal.
Yeah. She's so. Tammy. What's your famous favorite plane?
I really loved flying the C-130. I mean, like ones that I don't fly. I love the A-10 Warthog. That's just like an amazing plane, right?
Amen.
Anything that can go like that just, slow. And
it's just...
oh, my gosh.
And just
it just hangs.
Rip, and it just does its stuff.
Yes. But most of my hours are in the C-130. Like, I flew the C-2, which is carrier onboard delivery, and that's really cool, landing on the aircraft carrier, doing all of that. But I really like the versatility of the C-130. It's big, but you can do short landings. You can go to all kinds of different places. You can put so much different stuff in the back of that plane.
This is just, when I flew in one long ago, I didn't think it was going to fly. It doesn't move fast. It's yep. going down the runway, and it's like you could outrun it just with the sprint.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it just sort of lifts off, and it's like
it does.
Man, it just lumbers.
It's a 1940s, no, 1950s. 1954, I think, is the version type when the C-130 came into being, and it's still, you know, flying and efficient in different models today.
Isn't that amazing how yes. it just keeps going and going, and it's a very versatile.
It is.
Because they do a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I really like about that platform. It was it was great. It took me all around the world into some really interesting places.
Okay, so let's venture into, now you're working with Starbucks, you're in the asset management, you're using an M4 product.
Yes.
Why? What's going on?
So, well, you know, my area, my venue is maintenance.
Yep.
So I've been with Starbucks for 2 years now,
yep.
In October, and so Infor was in place as our maintenance operations tool, really, our asset enterprise asset management tool, managing our work, things like that. So my initial charter, has been to standardize the maintenance practices across our coffee roasting plants, so on the manufacturing side. So
across your coffee roasting platform is across the United States, or
we have five domestic roasting plants, and we have one international roasting plant in Amsterdam.
Well, you do?
Yeah.
An office in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Look at you think I'm trying too hard to try to impress you? Because I'm struggling now.
No.
So that's pretty cool.
So just standardizing the maintenance practices, the nomenclatures, the taxonomy that we're using, so that we can start making consistent network decisions in our maintenance practices and our strategic plan for our equipment.
Do you find the EAM platform flexible, dynamic, to be able to, I mean?
So what's interesting was it was flexible enough that each plant was having their own nuances in how they were doing things.
Yeah.
And for us, it was really about stepping back and taking it down to the fundamentals and finding then the commons,
yeah.
the commonality that we needed to do,
yeah.
build on that. And then there are some places where different plants and roasteries can put in their nuances based on user groups, based on security, what they need to do, those kinds of things. So we've been able to adjust to some of the different organization levels that we have using the product.
Because it's interesting because, you know, there are not many companies the size of Starbucks who roast coffee outside of maybe Folgers and so you're using a product that probably, I mean, not many people would use within the coffee roasting.
It's equipment
vertical.
Management.
It's the same thing.
It's you're managing equipment. You're That's managing it. Your maintenance workflows. So it's what is the tool that you're using to manage that?
That's true. And the ability to be able to be consistent mm-hmm. with the product.
Right.
You know, you're not getting something that's... I have to ask the question. And you tell me if it's not an acceptable. Do you vary the taste? Let's say I have different roasting styles. And let's say in Amsterdam, they like it a little darker.
No.
It's just a consistent...
Yeah, that's why you can go to any Starbucks and you'll get a consistent cup of coffee.
Yeah.
No matter where you are in the world.
I went to China and I went to McDonald's and it smelled the same.
Mm-hmm.
It tasted the same.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's the quality that we have.
Objective. What are you trying to accomplish with that?
With?
Just your efforts in trying to create a consistent, you know, baseline. What are you trying to?
Well, because if you have consistent, reliable equipment that's safe, then you increase your uptime, you increase your productivity. Any downtime that you take is scheduled downtime,
yep.
and it's factored into your production plan. So it's all about production and productivity in the end.
Where do you want to go? What's the future look like?
Well, now that we've set our foundation, we're really going to start being able to use our data. So visualizing the data, getting the data in a visual format,
yep.
and then trending the data so that we can see where our equipment, where we're doing well with equipment, where we could do better with equipment, just all the different arenas that go
and
into
real
that.
Bottom line value.
Yeah.
And this effort is, you've been there are you sort of the tip of the sword when it comes to this initiative?
I think so. I'm you know, the first person who came in really kind of really wrapped my arms around it holistically, and that we've been really able to move things forward in a cohesive manner.
What do you call home?
Home, my mom lives in Colorado. Right now I live on the Olympic Peninsula, so west of Seattle. And people have said, well, there's not a whole lot west of Seattle.
I was just going to say, if we were videoing or taping this, you'd see my eyes like, west of Seattle, isn't that on the water?
Well, no, you take a ferry, and then you go across an island, and then you go across a bridge, and then you hit the peninsula. And I live in a little Norwegian town called Paulsbo.
You see, you're amazing. I mean, come on. I've never heard anybody living out there. Hey, are you familiar with Grays Harbor?
Grays Harbor, oh, yeah.
So you come into Seattle, mm-hmm. you head south, mm-hmm. turn right at Olympia, and then you head toward the water.
Right.
And I was building a terminal out there. It was great.
Right,
see,
right.
Once again, I'm trying really hard to try to impress you.
That's by Ocean Shores and everything out there, because we go camping out there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain grew up there.
Okay.
That's its claim to fame.
Wow.
So are you having a good conference?
I am. It's been a lot of great information. And I think that the networking, the people you connect with, and the ability to share stories. So for us, it's about our journey and how we've worked to turn around perceptions, how we've pulled together as a maintenance network across our manufacturing plants. And that's a real win-win story for us.
It's an interesting... What I can appreciate at an environment in this type of a conference is that you're living in a time when technology is really gaining a lot of steam, and there's a lot. Now, you being an aviator, maybe that's not, but here in the industry where there's a lot of change happening, and the only way you're going to keep up with it is the ability to be able to network with people who say, no, you don't want to go there. You want to do it this way, and you know, things like that.
Well, we're not necessarily the early adopters on some front, so having conversations with those folks who are is just really intriguing. And then how do you balance that with, you know, the more mainstream, and what parts and pieces do you want to bring on board in your organization that'll benefit? For us, our customer is internal on the manufacturing, from my perspective.
Right.
My customer is my maintenance technician, my buyer, my planner, my maintenance supervisor.
Yeah.
And then out of that, we'll get good data, but I need to make it easy for them in order for us to make bigger strategic decisions later on.
And what's interesting, and it happens with a lot of companies now, Starbucks, been around for a little while, but boy, there was a growth. And it's one of those, how does that impact a company as a whole, and how do you make those strategic decisions? We got to go over here now. We got to do this, and we got to deploy this capital, and tremendous success brings about other challenges. And now it sounds like from me that you're trying to gain some level of organizational control over those assets,
mm-hmm.
and be able to do something a little bit more tactical and strategic in how you think through all of that.
Yeah, because we have the same type of equipment that was implemented at different times.
Yeah.
And so is aging.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. And because, I mean, where's the first roaster located?
Kent, Washington.
Is it still there?
It is.
Is it still producing?
It moved from Airport, I think it was Airport Road or something like that, to its current location. And yeah. They're roasting coffee. They're a flexible plant. They roast coffee, they blend tea, and they produce some of our vias.
I went to Vancouver.
BC or Washington?
BC, yeah. So I'm downtown, and this is the only place I've ever seen a Starbucks on one corner, and then across the catty corner, a Starbucks. It's like, I've never seen that. But it's so funny because apparently the business is there.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Do you get enough coffee?
Yes, I do. I'm happy to say it's a perk.
It is a perk.
No pun intended.
It is intended. You winked at me. You did. All right. Hey, are you out there on LinkedIn?
I am.
Are you active on LinkedIn?
Somewhat.
Because I'm telling you, somebody's going to say, hey, I heard you on the podcast. Can we connect? So you have to say yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's Tammy Riley.
Uh-huh.
That's R-Y-L-E-Y. Let's try that again. That's Tammy There's a couple of things. That's TAMIRYLEY. There you go. So make a note of that and then type in Starbucks. You'll find the right Tammy. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
And of course, let me share with you a little story. I was trying to negotiate a deal on a piece of property. This is how stupid it gets. And the person representing the property that I was trying to negotiate to bring a gas line across, his name was Howard Kindick. And I remember watching, and I said, Howard Kindick, how do I know that name? Well, he was the center for the undefeated Miami Dolphin football team in 72. And he comes in with his Super Bowl ring, right? And it's just, once again, it just sets me off. I'm just like, can I put a pipe across your property? And then we just started talking about the Super Bowl. I'm a horrible negotiator when it comes to this stuff. Anyway, thank you, Tammy. Thank you very much for and being patient out there while we were finishing up another interview.
Oh, no worries.
You were awesome.
With others.
And I did see you up on the stage at the...
And I didn't trip, and I think
it's
I did all right.
It's a huge stage there.
It was very big. They told me, oh, you won't be able to see everybody in the crowd. And let me tell you, I totally saw everybody in the crowd.
Every face. You.
But when I said there were probably a lot of people that stopped by Starbucks on their way in, there were quite a few coffee cups that went up in the
there
air.
There was. So, it was over there.
That was a feeling of friendship.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you very much. And thank you very much for joining Energizing EAM. We are going to have some more great interviews, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
That is Tammy Riley. She's a reliability program manager at Starbucks. All around incredible individual. Check out her stack card out on LinkedIn. That is Tammy, T-A-M-I, Riley, R-Y-L-E-Y. You can tell during the interview I was a bit starstruck because you know what? She's landed on aircraft carriers. Not just once, multiple times. Holy cow. And remember, go out to industrialtalk.com/in4EAM and download those 7 reports on EAM. It's a must. It's easy. You just go and do it. No big deal. You will just, you'll be happy to do that. That's right. You will be happy. And as well as get your 1 month free at Industrial Academy. That's the Industrial Academy. And it's going to prepare you with all the other training that you can possibly imagine in this industrial world. And then finally, you got to gear up for 2020. 2020 is right around the corner. So there is a webinar out there. Do you have your sales and marketing platform in place? You need a little tune-up? That's what that webinar is all about. And you know, always be bold, be brave, dare greatly. And you guys are changing the world out there. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast and Energizing EAM. We're going to have another incredible interview coming your way. So stay tuned. Do not go away because, you know, we're all about your success here at the Energizing EAM Podcast. So thank you very much and stay tuned.